It's the dictionary.
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 Didn't see you there, word nerds. Where did you come from? Hello, everybody. I hope you're doing well. I hope you are enjoying the end of the F's. What will happen after the F's? My name is Spencer, and this is episode F251. Let us jump right into the words. The first word in this episode is fury. F-U-R-Y. Noun from the 14th century. Number one, intense, disordered, and often destructive rage. Wow, that's rage. You are not keeping that rage in. You are destroying things. You're destructive. Wow. And also disordered and intense. Number 2A, this one would be capitalized, and it is any of the avenging deities in Greek mythology who torment criminals and inflict plagues. Ooh, yes, I have heard of these. I think that they are often called the Furies, which I think we actually did see in the F-U-R-I section. But let's look up, here we go, Furies, Greek mythology. In Greek mythology, the Furies, also known as Erinnes, are goddesses of vengeance and retribution, often depicted as fearsome, winged women. You know what? They probably have some very good reasons to try to get vengeance and retribution. You know, just because men can be pretty crappy, and women get the brunt of that crappiness. So, yeah, makes sense. They're furious for good reason. There's the three sisters, typically depicted as the three sisters, Alecto, Megara, and Tisiphone. Let's see. Fearsome appearance. Don't love this part, I guess, necessarily. Snake-like hair. I know Medusa had snake hair, but that's different, I guess. Bat-like wings. Whips and torches. Embodying their terrifying nature. Yeah, I don't love that they are embodied as terrifying, but the fact that they're mad makes sense. But why? What are they? The Furies are the embodiment of divine retribution, focused on punishing transgressions against the natural order and moral laws. Focused on punishing transgressions against the natural order. So there are, I don't know, the industry, like I'm just thinking of things in real life. Capitalism, those sorts of things might be going against the natural order and moral laws. Oh, the Furies must be very furious right now. Ugh. I'd hate to be on their receiving end, the receiving end of their whips. Okay, well, those are the Fury. It doesn't say plural there, but it sounds like they're but there might be more. There might be more. Let's see. So those were the avenging deities, Greek, who torment criminals and inflict plagues. You humans, you're doing a bad job, so we're going to give you some plagues. 2B, an avenging spirit, just in general. An avenging spirit is a fury. 2C, one who resembles an avenging spirit, okay, but especially a spiteful woman. She's spiteful. She's angry. She's trying to get revenge, maybe. So she resembles the spirit that is also avenging. I think there needs to be a new Avengers with these types of things. The spirits, the spiteful women, the Furies in the Greek mythology. They are the original Avengers. Number 3 is extreme fierceness or violence. Extreme fierceness or violence. Oh, fun times. Number 4, a state of inspired exaltation. Ooh, this one's different. The synonym is frenzy. A state of inspired exaltation. So, like, you're exalted. Are you happy? But it's inspired. That's a fury? I need a context. Context clues, context situation. A context sentence, please, and thank you. More synonym information at the word anger. Yeah, that makes sense. This is from the Latin furere, which means to rage. And of course, how can you not think of the Hulk? The Hulk goes into a rage. He is always in a fury. In a destructive rage. Yes, he's very destructive. All right, my sound effect. I shall go. Let's see. Next, we have furs. F-U-R-Z-E. This is a noun from before the 12th century. The synonym is gorse, G-O-R-S-E, and I don't know what that is at all. So I guess we'll have to wait for the G's. Furzy is an adjective, that's F-U-R-Z-Y. Never heard of gorse, never heard of furs, or furzy. But we do have some etymology. So this is from the Old English furs, akin to the Russian pyre, which means quack grass. I don't know what quack grass is, but I love it. Also from the Greek pyros, or pyros, which means wheat, but also P-Y-R-O makes me think of fire, pyromaniac. Stuff like that. So, I don't know. Quack grass and wheat and furs and gorse, and I don't know what this is. Next is fusarium. Fusarium. F-U-S-A-R-I-U-M. This one is a noun from 1907. Fusarium. It is any of a genus, which is also fusarium, of Ascomycetes, how do you say this word? Ascomycetes fungi having curved septate conidia, which includes forms that are important agents of plant disease and others that produce mycotoxins implicated in human and animal disease. Also, a plant disease as wilt or dry rot caused by a fusarium. Okay, well, that was a lot of information. Real quick, this is from the Latin fusus, which means spindle. So maybe that has to do with their shape or something. Okay, so it's a fungi, curved septate conidia. No clue what that is other than curved. I understand curved. Let's see. Some of the forms are important agents of plant disease. So they help, they are a proponent, they help some diseases and plants be created, something, I don't know. Let's see, there are mycotoxins that are implicated in human and animal diseases. Ooh. All right, stay away from the fusarium. Stay away from the fusarium. Boop-a-doo. Next is fuscus. It's just fuscus. F-U-S-C-O-U-S. It sort of looks like fuscus. It's like couscous, but it's fuscus, but it's actually fuscus. This is an adjective from 1662. It is any of several colors averaging a brownish gray. This is from the Latin fuscus. And there's more at the word dusk. So let's just look up. So what's confusing is that it says it's any of several colors. There are several colors that are fuscus. They're called fuscus. And they average a brownish gray. So like when you put them all together, they make a brownish gray, I guess. So I looked up fuscus in images. And I am finding a couple of birds. There's at least a couple of birds. One is called the fuscus flycatcher. Not in the dictionary, I guess. Not an important enough animal to be in the dictionary. There's also a fuscus honey eater. And they both look like they very much have this color. It's really just your standard brownish gray. I would mostly call it gray, but it has a little brown in it. And, yes, but then we've got a few other images here that are just like the colors, the gray, mostly gray, little bit of, ooh, here's one with a whole bunch of, it's a whole color palette, many different kinds of fuscuses, I guess. Some are more brown than others. They go dark to light and everything. Yes, fuscus gray and pale oyster color tone combinations. Yeah, anyway, just wanted to look up, like, what is this color? And then I learned about the birds. Fuscus fly eater and honey eater. I think those were their names. What do you think they eat? What? All right, so that is fuscus. I guess the color of dusk when the sun is going down. Maybe that is that's the fuscus color. Now we have the word fuse, F-U-S-E. First form, this one is the verb form from 1592, and we are starting with transitive. Number one, to reduce to a liquid or plastic state by heat. Fusing something. Well, I think of like fusing things together. When you do that, you probably need to warm them up, heat them up. Maybe if you're trying to fuse plastic to plastic, because that's an easy thing that will melt. That's fuse. You're fusing it. You're reducing this to a liquid or plastic state by heat. You're warming it up, and it becomes more malleable and maybe just fully liquid. One day, I shall be fused and fully liquid. Two, to blend thoroughly by or as if by melting together. Yep. The synonym there is combine. Ooh. The movie that we watched recently together, there is definitely some fusing that is happening in there. Ooh. Blend thoroughly. Now, number three. To stitch by applying heat and pressure with or without the use of an adhesive. So you might be using glue or tape, but you might not be. But this is about putting heat to things and pressure, sticking them together, and say, now you have been fused. I fused you. You are welcome. You are now fused together forever. I just saw a thing. I was aware of this before, but there are those, was it the angler fishes or something, that the female is much larger than the male, and the male, basically when they want a mate, they come and they like bite down on the female and they become fused together. There's no heat, there's no pressure exactly. I mean, I guess when they bite them, there's pressure, and they literally become part of the female's body. Their veins, their blood system combine, and the female literally just uses the male for sperm to make more babies, to have the process go on over and over again. They're not using an adhesive in that situation. All right, now we have intransitive number 1A, to become fluid with heat. This is the thing. You are fusing something, and then that thing, intransitively, has become fused. 1B is British, and it is to fail because of the blowing of a fuse. So we're going to talk about the noun fuse soon, but when something fails because the fuse popped, the fuse blew, the fuse got too much power surging through it, and it goes, I can't work anymore, then the British people are saying, the light fused because the fuse broke. Number two, to become blended or joined by or as if by melting together. For more synonym information, go see the word mix. Mixing things up. Ooh, I'm going to mix things up. I'm going to fuse them together into a soup. So, this word is from the Latin verb fundere, which means to pour or melt. And there's more of the word found. Ooh, well, now I'm thinking about melting chocolate and pouring it into my mouth. I shall fuse the chocolate with me, and I shall be henceforth known as Chocolate Man. I just eat chocolate all the time. The second form of fuse is a noun from 1868. This is an electrical safety device consisting of or including a wire or strip of fusible metal that melts and interrupts the circuit when the current exceeds a particular amperage. Yeah, I don't fully understand how these work. I guess it sort of described it, but when there's too much electrical current, once there's too many amps that this thing can handle that are going through it, then I'm not going to do my job no more. Why? Because there is a wire of fusible metal or a strip of fusible metal that melts and interrupts the circuit. When there's too much going on, this thing melts and it screws up the circuit. It screws up the electricity going through the system. It stops it there. And then you got to go replace the fuse or turn the fuse back on or whatever. And, you know, there's different kinds. I think the older ones, you literally had to replace it because it was unusable anymore. But now, you know, most places these days, you just flip a switch and it comes right back on. So I wonder if those fuses, maybe they don't have a thing that melts. But now we know, I didn't know this, I never thought about this. Now we know that this word fuse is called fuse. This electrical thing is called fuse because it has metal that can fuse, that will melt and fuse to something, melt to something. And that's why it's called a fuse. Did you even know that? I didn't know that. I'm going to tell everybody I know that now I know that. The third form of fuse. This one is a noun from 1644. This is number one, a continuous train of a combustible substance enclosed in a cord or cable for setting off an explosive charge by transmitting fire to it. Oh, I'm just going to transmit fire to this thing. Let's just transmit it. So let's talk a bit more about this one. It's a train of a combustible substance. There's a whole lot of substance that can be blown up, can be set on fire, burned, and it's all inside of a cord. You keep it all safe together inside of this cord until you transmit fire to it. You light one end of it with some fire, a lighter, a match, a blowtorch, electricity maybe even something. You're transmitting fire to the end of it, and then it will gradually all burn up because it's combustible, and then eventually it will reach its endpoint where there is an explosive charge. Well, I guess we'll talk about the etymology in a bit, but, you know, how I often, when I think of these types of fuses, I often think of either Mission Impossible, because I believe the old TV show, I think that the whole theme was about a fuse going bump, 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 boom, boom, boom. But also cartoons, how many fuses and bombs have we seen in cartoons? I think just a lot, right? Yes. Just light the fuse, you blow up the cartoon. Oh, great. They're a cartoon. They're not really dead. Number two, this one can also be spelled with a Z instead of an S or a Z. This is a mechanical or electrical detonating device for setting off the bursting charge of a projectile, bomb, or torpedo. So obviously it's very similar to the first one, but it's not the literal cord of combustible stuff, I guess. It's the thing that will, it sort of replaced the cord. We're like, you know what, we don't necessarily need the cord of combustible stuff. We can just set it off in other ways. Set off our bombs in other ways. So this is from the Italian fuso, which means spindle. And we saw spindle earlier from the Latin fusus. So the Latin fusus became the Italian fuso. Would they say fuso in Italian? But also, yes, it also mentions the Latin fusus. But it also says it's of unknown origin. So interesting that we have fuse about heating and mixing and melting. And then we have an electrical thing that's straight from that. but we have a whole different one that seems like it would be connected to heat and melting because it's a combustible thing, but it seems like it's coming from spindle. Is this because you put the cord like around a spindle? Why are we calling this fuse? It's of unknown origin. Somebody's got to know something. Somebody out there, they know something. They know too much. Now we have the fourth form of fuse. And this one is also with a Z, if you like, if you're feeling so inclined and fancy that day. This is a transitive verb from 1802. It is to equip with a fuse. And I believe this one would be about the thing setting off an explosive device. I don't have any of those with me here. I don't think I have ever set... Maybe the only fuses that I have set off or I have lit, I have transmitted fire to, would be some fireworks. You know, there's bottle rockets. That's absolutely an explosive device with a fuse. It's not a very long fuse. It's pretty short. But yes, that's got a fuse on it. And, you know, other related similar small and safe fireworky things. I have lit those fuses for sure. I guess you could sort of call a candle, the wick of a candle, you could maybe call it a fuse. It's not setting off an explosive device, but it is a very similar slow-going thing. Wouldn't it be funny if at the very bottom of a candle there was just a little explosive device? The whole candle, the wax makes the fuse go very, very slowly. And then finally, at the very bottom, it's like, I'm done. The candle's all done. Okay, sound effect time. Is that the sound of a fuse? Probably not. We have now fused quartz. Two words. Noun from 1925. The synonym is quartz glass. And it is called also fused silica. And that is, that's that. Fused quartz. I don't know. I guess it's something that's fused together. Let's look up a picture of fused quartz. That's the song of waiting for me to type. Yeah, I mean, it just looks like quartz that's been stuck together, I guess. I don't know. Is it all the same? Nope, I don't know. All right. Next is fusee. This is spelled F-U-S-E-E, pronounced fusee. Noun from 1622, number one, a conical, spirally grooved pulley in a timepiece from which a cord or chain unwinds onto a cylinder containing the main spring and which by its increasing diameter compensates for the lessening power of the spring. Woo! All right, well, you know, all of you clockmakers out there listening, checking out this podcast, definitely know what the fusee is, but I need to look up. I need to see this. Well, I'm seeing pictures of rockets for some reason, but also pictures of clock gears. And where... So this would be the fusee. Okay, so there is... need to describe this. So on the left side, we have, a spindle. I'm guessing this might be from spindle, which has, I guess, there's a spindle up and down, like a little cylinder, and then there's a large thing around it, which maybe looks like a springy kind of thing, and then there's a cord that's going around that, but also then goes to this conical-shaped piece, which I guess is the fusee, right? Because it said it's a conical, spirally grooved pulley in a timepiece. So yes, there's then this cord or this chain winds around this thing. So it's shaped like a cone, right? Like like a pyramid, but it's round. They're all round pieces, but it's like stepped. So like the bottom is a very big gear, and then there's like a smaller. I don't know if it's a gear because I don't see the teeth. But there's a smaller circle above that and a smaller circle above that. It kind of looks like that toddler toy where you stack things by shape or by size, I guess. And it spins, and then the cord from the left side goes around the fusee and then it goes back again, so it winds up the other way. There's a wound up version and an unwound version. And yes, here's a picture of it in a watch, in a clock. There's obviously lots of different versions of it. So as it winds, the cord goes up the smaller and smaller rings. It gradually winds up, and then I guess when it gets to the top, it goes back the other way. Huh. Okay, so learning pieces in clocks. Did you ever think that you would need to know that information? I didn't know. Let's see. So it unwinds onto a cylinder, that was the left side, containing the mainspring, and by which its increasing diameter compensates for the lessening power of the spring. I don't know why. What is the point of this? What does it do? If you have any information of like how it affects the clock specifically, I'd like to know. So now we have number two, which looks pretty different. It's a red signal flare used especially for protecting stalled trains and trucks. And when I looked up images, I did see these red flares in there. And I was like, why is that in here? I also don't understand why I saw rockets in there, but the rockets have a fuse. It would be interesting if, the NASA rockets were set off by a fuse. All right, just light the fuse, and it's just going to go down for a mile because you got to be far away, and then eventually it will hit the rocket and set it off. But this one, this is the red signal flare. Yeah, you see people at nighttime, if they've got a stalled truck, they might light some flares and put them on the road. When you're leaving maybe a festival, a concert at night of some kind, and you know there's people there trying to direct traffic, you'll see these flares on the ground in the street, and I guess they are called fusees. Next time you see them, and you can talk to the traffic director person and be like, hey, those are some nice fusees you got there. I'm gonna go home and get some Z's. All right, this word is from the French, fusée, which literally is a spindle full of yarn. So, this thing in the clock, I think this is a very direct connection to that, because it's a spindle full of a chain, a cord, a yarn thing. They're like, hey, we're just going to call that our word. We already have a word for a spindle full of yarn. Don't know why you needed a word for that, but you have it. Also, from the old French, fus, which means spindle, and of course, the Latin fusus, which we know now means spindle. All right, now moving on to fuselage. It's the word fuse with the word lage, L-A-G-E, but of course we pronounce it fuselage. This is a noun from 1909. It is the central body portion of an aircraft designed to accommodate the crew and the passengers or cargo. And it says to see the airplane illustration. Oh, would it be fun if we go all the way back to the airplane? I mean, I think this is literally, it sounds like, the main body of the plane. Let's look at these. Which number would it be back to? The plane illustration, I'm looking for fuselage. Here we go, number 23. It's just pointing to like the main body of the plane because the definition said the central body portion of an aircraft and it accommodates the crew and the passengers or the cargo. So yes, you're hanging out in the fuselage when you're traveling on a plane. Next time I'm on a plane, I'm gonna go inside and I'm gonna be like, wow, look at this fuselage. This is the most beautiful fuselage I've ever seen. Are there fuses for me to light while on the plane? No, we don't do that on a plane. Why is it called fuselage? It's kind of an interesting word. It is from the French word fuselier. Of course, I don't know how to pronounce this. Which is spindle-shaped. That's pretty much it. So it's shaped like a spindle. Is it because it's long and slender? And that's like a spindle? never once thought about what this word even means. I mean, they don't really use it a whole lot. You hear it now and then. I hear it now and then. But you don't hear it enough for me to be like, what does that word mean exactly? Where did that come from? Now we know it literally is just spindle-shaped. All right, that's it. I don't know. It's just an interesting word with an interesting etymology. Moving on to fusel oil. Two words. The first word is F-U-S-E-L, and then, yeah, oil. Noun from 1850. This is an acrid, oily liquid occurring in insufficiently distilled alcoholic liquors, consisting chiefly of amyl alcohol, and used especially as a source of alcohols and as a solvent. So it's from alcoholic liquors that have been insufficiently distilled. You didn't distill them correctly, maybe not enough, and so then you might get this acrid, oily liquid called a fusel oil, and it's got amyl alcohol in it, and it's a source of alcohols and is a solvent. You're like, well, we can't drink it, don't want to drink it, but maybe we can use it to solve math problems or maybe remove paint. So this is from the German word fusel, which has a capital F, so it makes me think of, is this a location? Is this a person? And it means bad liquor. So, okay, I am very curious about this German word fusel. For what? German word fusel. What else are we looking up? Alcohol, I guess. Because I'm so curious about this capital. The German fusel refers to bad liquor or a low-quality alcoholic beverage. Ah, maybe they were like, oh yeah, that's some crappy beer for Oktoberfest. We're going to call it, that's bad liquor, so we're going to call it fusel. Specifically describes the higher alcohols, or fusel alcohols, that are produced during fermentation alongside ethanol. These higher alcohols, also known as fusel oils, can contribute to undesirable flavors and aromas in alcoholic beverages. Interesting. Yeah, there's a whole Wikipedia page for this stuff. Interesting. Well, there's a lot to look at, and it's a relatively short page. But yeah, interesting stuff. Bad liquor. The Germans are like, nah, not gonna drink that. But it seems like it has multiple uses, multiple meanings. Okay, now we are going to move on to fusible, F-U-S-I-B-L-E, adjective from the 14th century. This is capable of being fused and especially liquefied by heat, as in fusible alloy, and that's like a metal, a combination of metals, and so it's fusible because you can put heat to it, and it will melt, like aluminum, I think, melts really easily at like a relatively low temperature. And so then it is fusible. You can melt it a little bit. Here's one alloy, and here's another alloy. You melt the edges, and you go, whack, and you stick them together. And you've got fused alloy. Fusibility, that is a noun. And now we shall go to one more last word. It's fusiform, F-U-S-I-F-O-R-M, adjective from 1746. This is tapering toward each end. The example is fusiform bacteria. So, you know, actually, if we look back in the previous episode, we had fur seal, and there's a picture of a fur seal, and I would say that the fur seal it's a fusiform seal because it tapers at both ends. Thicker in the middle, skinny at the end. And yes, this is from the Latin fusus, which means spindle again. We see spindle again. How many times did we see spindle here? So many times. All right, those were all of the words. And now I gotta pick a word. It's gonna be the word of the episode. Today we had Fury, Furs, Fusarium, Fuscus, Fuse, Fused Quartz, Fusee, Fuselage, Fusel Oil, Fusible, and Fusiform. Well, I have to give a little shout-out, I think, to the Fury, the Greek mythological ladies, deities. They are deities. Just a little shout-out to them for fighting the good fight. But I think I shall pick... let's pick fuselage as the word of the episode. I'm going on a plate. Plate? I'm going on a plane. I'm sitting on a chair. I'm hanging out in the fuselage. The fuselage, the fuselage. It's spindle-shaped. We're all hanging out in the... I'm watching movies in the fuselage. I'm watching movies in the fuselage. Movies, movies, movies in the fuselage. All right, that was fantastic. I have a new movie to tell you about. We watched one last night. We went to see the movie Weapons. This was a fun movie. I highly recommend it. Go see it in the theater if you can, although by the time this airs in mid-September, it's probably not in theaters anymore, unfortunately. But hopefully you will have seen it in a theater with a crowd because, you know, movies like this definitely got to be seen that way. And I like the way it was told. It keeps you guessing, kind of. I was sort of thinking about stuff relatively early on, I don't even want to say anything. I just don't want to say anything because I like to not hype up things too much or too low. You know, I like to keep things in the middle, but it's fun. We had a good time watching it. All right. That is the movie Weapons, and this has been episode 251 of the podcast, F251 specifically, 2000-something in the grand scheme of things. And, hey, you know what? I'll see you next time on the dictionary. This has been Spencer dispensing information. Goodbye.